Good morning, church. My name is Zach, and I'm thrilled and honored to be here this morning with you, especially around this Christmas season. I remember, coming to the end of high school, like a lot of high school students, where you got to start thinking about, what is my future going to look like? Where do I see the trajectory of my life going? What do I want to do? What type of vocation do I want to have? Do I want to get married? Do I not want to get married? I got married. It happens. But I wasn't sure over time, what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, whatever. But I knew in my life that I wanted to work with people. And so through the years, I've landed in different agencies and vocations that have led me down the path of journeying with people and entering into people's situations that consist of the good, the bad, and the very ugly. In the human service field, where I come from, before coming to serve out here in Sheridan Park Family Church, you're constantly giving. You're giving and you're giving and you're giving and you're giving. And did I mention that you're giving? You're giving your emotions, you're giving your time, you're giving your talent, you're giving your energy, and you're giving and giving and giving and giving. Everything you have, you give to help the benefits of others. And I can recall many times in my life where I thought this to myself, why on earth am I doing this? Why on earth, am I putting myself through this awful time in working? So I've worked in, homeless shelters. I've worked with young offenders in the prison system. And I've been, punched. I've been slapped. I've been spit on. I've had death threats towards me and my family. And I'm like, why on earth am I doing this? I live a life of generosity, and hardly do I see the benefits of what I'm doing. But then, once a month or maybe a couple months, I would have a success story and I'd be like, yes! And it pumped me back up, and then I would go back into it and I would be reminded of why I do what I do, and then it would be a cycle all over again, and I would get punched and I'd get slapped and I'd get, threats and whatever it was. But I loved that, and that's where I found myself all the time, and I kept on going into it. Has anyone else ever felt like this? Don't raise your hand, maybe. But, you're giving and you're giving your time, your energy. You want to be generous with what you have and you're giving, but hardly do you ever see the fruit of what you're actually doing. Maybe your situation was a lot like mine in that you worked in the human service field or you were working with people and people are just asking and taking and taking and you're just giving and you're not getting anything back. Or maybe you're a parent, with the needs of little children, and children are just taking and taking and taking, and you want to be generous parents, so you give back to your kids, but they're just taking. Or maybe you're looking after an aging parent, and you want to see your parent end life well, and so you want to give everything you have to set them up so that they are good, and you give your energy and your resources. Or maybe you're the friend in your friend group, where all of your other friends constantly gravitate towards you and they're just telling you their issues and you're just constantly listening and you're like, man, why can't somebody listen to me? This idea of being generous is an interesting tension that we all live in to a certain degree. And so what I desire for all of us to look at today is this. And I want us to ask the question, are there benefits to living a generous life? Is there benefits to doing generosity? Why do we do generosity? Is there anything in it for me? Is there anything actually in it for the individual that I'm seem to be helping when they don't want to help themselves? And so the text we're about to look at really displays the challenge that is set before all of humanity to engage with what it means to be generous and to expose what living a generous life can actually look like and produce amongst those around you and even in you personally. And so when we feel there isn't much, benefit coming from the efforts, the question then becomes, why do I keep doing this? Much like myself, why do I keep engaging with this? Is there any point? Or maybe, you're on the other hand and you don't even want to venture down the path of being a generous person because you just don't want to make yourself vulnerable. You don't want to put yourself out there and you don't want to be uncomfortable within generosity. And you don't want to move out of that comfort zone. And so there's actually a lot to think about here in asking the question, what are the benefits to generosity? Is there anything? And so what we discover, my friends, through the person of Jesus is that he stepped into space and time. The Creator stepped into relationship with the creation to generously offer a life transformation that would impact humanity forever. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. And so the reality is that when someone comes into contact with Jesus, everything about that person transforms. And we might not see the fruit of it right away, but there is actually a role for us to play as Christians, if that's how you identify here today, in being generous, the way generosity has been displayed for you and for I through the person of Jesus. And so the big idea is this, is that generosity can actually be one of the hardest things that you'll ever do, but at the same time, it's one of the best things that you'll ever engage in. So for the next little bit, I want to invite you on the journey of exploring what generosity looks like and how it can be beneficial to those around you and to even yourself. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, 14 to 16. And so the text simply says this. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And so as we break down this text today, you know, we're going to be starting with the first little bit, and it says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." You know, living a generous lifestyle is actually a lot like light. The definition of light is simply this. It says, light is visually perceived radiant energy. And so light within itself actually has many benefits for you and I. You know, it keeps us warm, it helps us to see in the dark, it actually helps us see and witness the beauty of our world, the stars, the sun, the mountains out west where I'm from. Not here, sorry. Rattlesnake is not a mountain. That is a molehill. But that's what light does. And so one of the many benefits of living a generous lifestyle is that you actually get to play a part in helping strangers, helping people who are not Christians find hope in Jesus. Do we realize that? We actually get to play a major role in the production of the kingdom. Now, I'm not just talking about, you know, the role that you get in a middle school play where you're the tree or, you know, you're the rock or you're the sheep and you're like, I'm just here. No. That's not what I'm talking about. You get to be a major player in ushering people into the presence of Jesus. You actually get to participate in that. You get to be a part of the production of someone finding new life in Jesus. And so have you ever noticed actually how much light actually plays into the self-direction and guiding of people? You know, some examples of this could be maybe like a lighthouse. You know, lighthouses are set up on coastal lines to make sure that ships, you know, don't get lost at night or at seas, or that they can come into the coastline safely so that they don't crash. You know, emergency vehicles, we think of ambulance and fire and police. The lights on those vehicles let everybody know in the surrounding areas that they're on their way to a scene to help provide and resuscitate life. You think of airport, taxiway, and runway lights. These things are set up so planes can land and take off to go onto their destination. Heck, even the Batman signal. The Batman signal is, you know, a beacon of light to let all of Gotham know that there is help is on the way and that it guides people to something bigger and better than themselves. And so all of these examples are to point and to direct people to something or someone. And so Jesus' disciples, disciple basically just meaning somebody who wants to follow Jesus, they've dedicated their life to following Jesus, have the kingdom light within us as a living testimony to those in the world who do not yet know Jesus. And so in my old line of work as a frontline social service worker, I had the opportunity to learn and to go to court quite a lot, actually. If you've never been to court, I would recommend you go to observe. Don't go, you know, if you don't have to, but court is a fantastic place. And I had the opportunity to sit in on a lot of court trials and hear people's testimonies of why they were there. And so in the court of law, a testimony is the firsthand account of something you've seen, heard, or witnessed. And so that's what our faith testimony is actually meant to be. It's the story of your experience with Jesus. It's not just about your conversion of when you first became a Christian. It's what is Jesus actively doing in your life now? What are you sensing, you know, he's doing? How is he working in the relationship with your kids? What does it look like to have Jesus in your day-to-day life at work, in your marriage, in your friendships? What is Jesus currently doing? And so how does having the light of Jesus in you make a difference in helping guide people back to himself? And so what we need to ask ourselves, friends, is just that. And if you, again, are a Christian here today, these questions are for you. Do we care enough to put ourselves out there? Do we care enough to volunteer, you know, every once in a while in a place that needs help? Give up a Friday night, interact with people who don't believe the same things we do, rub shoulder to shoulder and look eyeball to eyeball with people to usher them to the person of Jesus? Is the light in us being used to its full capacity? Are we responding the way emergency light sources were created to bring people into the safety? Yet in this context, are we responding in such a way to bring people into the biggest love story ever told, the gospel? The gospel simply meaning the good news of Jesus. It's good news. Jesus came as the light of all people, and so we must take that mandate and live for Christ, shining like lights in the world, showing clearly what Christ is like in me, in you, for all to see. You know, I think it's pretty hilarious, actually, in this passage, when it says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. How on earth can somebody hide Toronto on the top of a hill? You can't do that. There's no way. You know, the glowing streetlights, the hustle and bustle of all the traffic, which I so dearly love. Not. You cannot hide that. None of this can be hidden in silence or from the naked eye. Because Jesus is the light of the world, his followers must reflect this light. If we live for Christ, we will glow like Christ, showing others what Christ is like and how we do that. You cannot hide that. In fact, why would you want to hide that? It's too good to be. It's just too good to be hidden. So let's take, you know, the CN Tower for example. The CN Tower could be seen from at least as far away as Kennedy Street in Aurora, Ontario. I do not know where that is, but I would assume it's far. It's approximately 40 kilometers to the north. Now, that's a far distance. That is a really far distance. But at night, you know, when the CN Tower is all lit up, you can probably see it even further away. Now, that's a very hard thing to hide. And so I think what the author was getting at here in this portion is that Jesus is the light of the world and his followers must reflect his light for others to see close up and miles away. How do we portray ourselves where people can actively see us? But it can be so easy to actually choose to hide the light that you possess and that you own. And, you know, this might look like, you know, choosing not to talk about your faith in your friend groups because if they found out the real you, they might think you're some religious nut. And so you choose not to talk about your faith. Or maybe it's, you know, living a lifestyle that dims your witness as a Christian. And your friends see that and they're like, you know, why are you operating and doing these things when what you say you stand for is totally different? What's that all about? Or maybe it's, you know, choosing to not even venture into the conversations of faith, of going places that are uncomfortable because you just want to be safe and secure with your Christian friends and your Christian circles. And so you're actually not going out into the world and interacting with people that don't think the same way that you do. And so light makes a difference. Light makes a difference in the surrounding areas it has impact on. And Jesus came as the light of all people. Christ's disciples must live for Christ, and like Christ, shining in a dark world, showing clearly what Christ is like. And so I want to ask the question here today. Again, if you're a Christian, this question is for you and I. How has Jesus made a difference in your life? How has Jesus made a difference in your life, in my life? Are we the same, you know, today as we were a year ago? How is Jesus shining through you that will draw people to himself in your spheres of influence? You know, the light of Christ cannot be hidden, and it's found and expressed through you and I, so let us not be secret image bearers. And so the first benefit to actually living a generous life is that it plays a role in guiding people to Jesus. and you get to be used as the avenue for that. That's a pretty amazing benefit. And so as we continue, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Light touches everything around you. You know, how crazy it would be to light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Now, this is probably, you know, referring to a clay jar that would conceal the light in and around that time when this was written. But people light lamps to spread light, enabling them to see what they are doing or where they are going or what they are doing. Thus, people placed lights on stands in the best location for them to spread their warm glow. And so being Christ's follower means being distinctive. In fact, light affects its environment by being distinctive. And so the person who is visibly different from other men will have an effect on them and those around them and the environments around them. But the aim of this good work to do this, my friends, is not to parade one's own virtue, but it's to direct attention to the God who inspired them. By doing so, light will touch everything around it. Are we getting the sense here? Light touches everything around it. And so I want to focus in a little bit on this little phrase, and it gives light to all in the house. Now, the house, what does he mean by this? You know, the house meaning everyone whom the individual, again, comes into contact with. The language here meaning close proximity. You know, our witness for how Jesus has transformed and is transforming one's life needs to be for everyone. Needs to be for people outside of Sheridan Park Family Church, outside of the global church, but also for those in our personal spheres of influence that we do life with. In your home, is the light of Jesus shining through you to the way you talk to your spouse? Is the light of Jesus shining through you in the way you talk to your kids, how you treat your kids? Is the light of Jesus shining through you in the way that you talk to your friends group or here at church? The testimony of Jesus is in you, gives light to all aspects of your personal life and those closest to you in the house, in your personal spheres of influence. Jesus emphasized that the disciples would continue to reflect the light of their master. And I can almost imagine all 12 of them, the light of their master was within their core group. And how did they treat one another? They could no more hide a light than a city on a hill can hide. If they must not try to conceal their light any more than one would light a lamp and then conceal it under an object. And so, my friends, everything you do, everything you say, everything you act upon, everything you talk about, how you live your life should reflect the light of Christ in you and in I. And so Jesus impacts all things, and he cannot be hidden in all arenas of one's life. I remember in my old job, I worked at the Calgary Drop-In Center. And the Calgary Drop-In Center is the biggest emergency shelter in North America. And it's in Calgary. And so the awesome thing about the DI is that there's foot flow. Like, thousands of people go through that building every single day. It's huge, and it's massive. And one of the roles for my job was that at the end of the shift, we had to clean the bathrooms. Now, I'm not just talking, you know, these bathrooms get used once or twice throughout the shift. No. Hundreds of people go in there. And this isn't just a bathroom. You know, this is a shower. This is a place where we shave. This is a place, you know, where there was drug paraphernalia because people would do their things in there. This was a place where people would leave their laundry. And these, like, it was just disgusting. I can't even imagine. No, I can't imagine. I just don't want to imagine how gross it actually was. And I struggled, you know, to want to volunteer to help clean it. But I remember there was one day where I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to try to say yes more than no in cleaning these bathrooms. And so as I started to, you know, volunteer, you know, of wanting to generously do that, I noticed something very different in my team. I noticed in my team, these were people that I did life with all the time for about 2.5 years, their attitude started to change to want to clean the bathrooms as well. And so as they noticed something changing in me and wanting to voluntarily go into these disgusting places, we started to have a change within our very own sphere of influence, within our very own culture of the drop-in center. And so sometimes we think living a generous life is for the people out there, You know, volunteering in soup kitchens or donating money for people to go do work overseas. And that's very important stuff. But generosity needs to be for those in our closest spheres of influence as well, so that they can see the person of Jesus in you and I. And so therefore, another benefit of living a generous life is that it actually impacts those closest to you. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Light creates experience. You know, the very reason for the existence of light is to illuminate. It is to help show people what to do and where to go and how to get there. And so how would people see this light? Well, it's through the good works of Christ's followers. It is through the living out of one's life that a person can actually come into experiencing the person of Jesus in a very tangible way. You know, Jesus made it very clear that there would be no mistaking the source of a believer's good works. And so therefore, light creates that experience for others to witness through how one lives their very life. The believer's light shines not for himself or herself, but to reflect the light back to the Father and so direct people to him. Sometimes what we do rather than what we say is important, and not only as a witness to others, but as a continuation of the work Christ began on earth. It is through the physical act of generosity that one actually might experience the love of the Father. You know, this might look like shaking hands with somebody as you're walking down the street that looks a little bit different than you, maybe down on their luck. You know, this looks like maybe on your lunch break, going and inviting and having lunch with the person that normally sits by themselves. It might be reaching out to your neighbor that maybe you haven't gotten to know and inviting them over for a meal. The way in which we conduct ourselves will create a lasting experience for those around us. The way we live life often illuminates the person of Jesus more than us just talking about him. Evangelist Billy Graham, one of the best, I would say, just amazing people, had this to say. He says, being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Jesus. May we not only be people who talk about the light in which we possess, yet let us be a people who continually transform into the person of Jesus. Let us continually transform into the person of Jesus, who is the light for the sake of others to experience him through our generosity. And so lastly, another benefit of living a generous life is that it creates experience. When I worked in Calgary, I think I've shared this story before, so you might know it or you might not. I worked in a residential treatment center with young offenders. And so unfortunately, a part of that job was that when a youth was at risk of hurting themselves or hurting somebody else, we actually had to physically restrain them so that they would not do that. And so I remember I was shift leading one night, and this girl was just going off. Like, she was, you know, going off and, you know, like threats and saying she was going to end her life and all this stuff. And so me and my team were up in the staff suite, and I worked with these people for 7 years. And so I turn around and I look at them, and, you know, they're getting the gloves on, they're putting the sweaters on, getting ready to go down and do what we had to do. And in that very moment, I heard Jesus say to me, he said, Zach, I want you to go sit with her. And I was like, you're insane. No, I'm not doing that. And he said, Zach, I want you to go and sit with her. And so I said, okay, I'm going to trust. I have a sense. I have a peace about this. I think this is what I need to do. And so I turned around to my team and I said, guys, I said, we're not going to go restrain her. I'm going to go sit with her. And my friend Darcy was like, Zach, it's your funeral. And I was like, just watch the cameras. I was like, I'll be fine. And I remember going down the stairs and I was walking down this hallway and I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me here. And I went and I poked my head around the door, and again, right, like just threats and saying all these nasty things to me. And I just sit down. I just slowly just sit down on the ground and I'm just praying over her. Didn't touch her, didn't lay a hand on her, nothing. I didn't even say I was going to do anything to her. I just was silent. And it was so amazing in that moment. Just her emotions were up here and it just changed like this. And there was such a presence of peace in the room. And she said, I've never felt this before. And then she went to bed, and it was awesome. And I closed the door, and I went back upstairs. And everyone's like, what did you do? And I said, I just sat and I prayed. And everyone thought I was crazy in that moment. But the reality of the story and why I tell that was that the young girl was guided into something that changed her life. And the reality of that story was that my coworkers, the people I did life with for 7 years, observed something new that changed and strengthened our relational bond. And the reality of the story was that everyone that day experienced the love of the Father. And so when we choose to live a generous life, we actually play a role of inviting others to know Jesus. We are a witness to those closest to us, and finally, we get to experience the love of the Father. And you might be wondering, well, Zach, like, what does it look like, you know? Like, what are some ways I can actually be a generous person? How do I be more generous? Does this look like I need to, you know, give more money at church through my tithe, or do I need to volunteer my Fridays, or what does this actually look like? And my answer to that is this, is I hate board games. I know that doesn't make sense, but I'll explain it in a moment. I hate board games, and I know hate is a strong word, but I can, okay, maybe I'll say dislike. I dislike board games. And I remember my mentor, Rob, he said to me one day, he said, Zach, it's not what you're doing, it's who you're doing it with. And that really stuck to me. I was like, what does he mean by that? It's not what you're doing, it's who you're doing it with. And when I finally processed that and I finally got it through my head, I can play board games now because even though I dislike board games, I like the people that I get to participate with because it's not about me, it's about them. And so that's why I choose to participate in board games, because it's about the people that I'm with. And so when it comes to a generous lifestyle and the how-tos, you know, how do I do this? What does this really look like? I want to use the same phrase Rob gave to me, but change it a little bit. And it's going to go something like this. It's not what you're doing, it's who you're doing it for. It's not what you're doing, it's who you're doing it for. When we can zero in on being generous out of the generous love that Jesus has for us, it becomes a part of who we are. It is then in our DNA to live generous lives because Jesus generously gave himself for you and I. And so how do we get into this place of constantly living out of this gift that we have been given to others to show and to lead people to himself? And so if you have the financial needs to generously give more, then give more. If you have the time to volunteer, you know, Friday night somewhere, then go and volunteer. If you want to spend more time with your children and your wife, then go and spend more time, because living a generous life and the benefits of it is because of him and for him, to show others his love. It's not about what you're doing. It's who you're doing it for, and it's who you're doing it with. And so as I conclude, the benefits of generosity are these, is that generosity invites people into relationship with Jesus. Generosity impacts you and those closest to you. And generosity creates a tangible space for people to experience the love of the Father in a real way. At this time, I want to share a little story of how I've gotten to know a family through our food bank and clothing loft here. They unfortunately couldn't be here today, but I'm going to share the story on behalf of them as they've given me their permission. Natalie and Steven, and I think they have 5 kids now, they come in, you know, every so often, and they come in for clothes and food. And when I first met Natalie and Steven, you know, I just met a family that needed some clothes. But now I can confidently say, as I've gotten to know them and we've spent time out in the community, I can call them my friends. A couple weeks ago, Steven called me in a panic, and he was saying, Zach, you got to come down to the sick kids. And I said, why? And they just had a brand new baby boy, baby Harley, and through heart complications, they were rushed down to the sick kids, and he had open heart surgery. And it was amazing that Stephen called me, a guy that he doesn't even know. But as I continued to enter and journey into his life, I dropped what I was doing, and we bought dinner, and we went down to the sick kids, and we had a meal together, we cried together, we laughed together, we told a bunch of jokes, and it was super good. And through that, and through the generosity of our church, because I know some of you here have given money, have given toys for the other children for Christmas, Harley had the open heart surgery, and he's healthy, and he's back home now. And so we are called to be image bearers for Jesus. Living a generous life is an expression of that into people's lives. And so let us not dim or shut out the lights, yet let us, as the church, shine bright for him. Thank you.